Ah, yes. Welcome to the program, Madge, on a Monday. And it's all thanks to our brand new sponsor, too. We're excited about that. We'll get to Michael Maguire very shortly. But it's Loans Made Simple at Finch Financial. Remember, asset finance made simple. So Julian and the team at Finch Financial are very happy to be sponsoring this.
Your NRL fix with Kiwis coach and Raiders assistant, Madge, on Mondays.
Oh, Madge. What about that? You've got a stinger. You've got a sponsor.
Yeah, Jimmy.
It's all happening, buddy.
you're on fire at the moment, Jimmy.
All right, mate.
Where's all this come from?
Oh, I don't know. Bit of energy in the studio, you know. Gets me going. Gets me going. Hey, mate, we've got to go back.
I'm glad you're back in the studio too, Jimmy, because last week we were under the pump trying to listen to each other. So we'll have a good one today.
Very challenging. Very challenging, Michael. Let's go back first to last Friday. 20 points to 19. Crazy. Why are the Raiders involved in so many crazy games of football? How did you see it?
They definitely don't do things the easy way here, Jimmy. They like to probably age Ricky and age his staff and age themselves with the way they play. But look, they were fantastic for 70 minutes of defence, and they were working really hard. And unfortunately, we lost Tommy Starling, and we probably just didn't handle that little period as well as what we would have liked. And to the West Tigers' credit, they obviously scored a few tries, and they went 2 weeks prior scoring quite a lot of points. So we knew that was in them. So we're very fortunate at the end that we were able to get the goal there that sealed the game. But what a heartbeat that was.
Were you coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs when that happened on the Good Friday match with the Bulldogs?
It was actually.
Yeah.
It was. James Graham came out and got Adam Reynolds. So yeah, exactly the same thing. It's quite amazing how things work out in your life. But I really felt for. He obviously went out to charge down, and just because it was quite a dewy night, he slid. But
yeah.
To our credit, our boys put themselves into that position, and rather than have another shot, because the whole momentum of the game through that period of time, I don't think we touched the ball for about 6 or 7 minutes, and three tries and a field goal were scored within that short period of time. So we had a good look at that this morning of how we handle something like that if we face that again.
Yeah, no doubt. So now we turn our attention to this Friday night, the game against the Warriors. Jared Croker's 300th. Ricky had his say in the press conference afterwards, as always, around that. But what is the club doing in the lead-up to this big game on Friday, Madge?
Yeah, I think I know Rick sort of had his say, but look, it's a massive call. Like, I guess what he spoke about was making big decisions when you're in the position that he's in and the club's in, like Donny Ferner. It had been talked about for a month prior leading into that game because everyone was aware of where that game may fall. And look, it's a big call leaving a player out, and everyone was talking about how since Toots has come back into the team, we've had a run. And
yeah.
But we've been building a lot of other players in the background to be able to fill in. And I guess, if it was went the other way, no doubt Ricky would have probably got, a lot of negative sort of press around that. But look, to his credit, he made the call, and I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic that one of our homegrown, like Jared's basically played every game of the 300, all his junior footy through the Canberra Raiders.
Yeah.
And there's only one other, which is Jason Croker. So to be able to play that at home, and I think Rick made it well said when he spoke about that he was actually with old Toots having to play that game up north, and he wasn't able to have that at home. So we're now going to be able to celebrate that on Friday, and I'd imagine we're going to have a sellout crowd to get behind what's going on. And the one thing about the players I are very aware of that it's one thing is celebrating, but also too we've got a big game of footy ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of big games of footy ahead, and we'll get to State of Origin too and what your side looks like, but Nathan Cleary does his hamstring last night. Jai Arrow had an ankle injury the night before. Cam Murray had a groin injury on that same game as well. Your experience in coaching State of Origin players when they come back, is there a propensity to get injured, or is this just one of those unlucky things?
I haven't seen a time like this. I don't remember a time where we've had quite a number of players, especially the week after. You tend to feel as a coach that they come back with quite a lot of adrenaline and they're up and about, ready to go. So the experiences I've had, I've always had Origin guys come back and play really well. But, you know, it's really strange that all of a sudden we now have two or three players in that New South Wales team that probably won't be there. And, you know, some good selection talks are going to be over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I've named my side. I'm copping a bit of stick. Every now and then someone might pop up to support me, but... you know these guys better than most, maybe better than anyone. In the halves, I've named Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds to do the job for New South Wales. Your thoughts?
I'm going to support you, Jimmy. Look, I think you talk about combinations, and you know, obviously losing someone like Nathan, and yeah, you've got the combination of what they have there at Penrith, but they're now going to lose that. But the connection that Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker have had for many years, you know, and now they're going to have Latrell come in on that left edge. So there's another connection there. And you've obviously got Cam Murray playing through the middle of the park as well. But I'm sure you could go between Cam Murray and Yeo, that they'd be able to swap. But I think just having a bit of change, you know, they've lost the series from last year and, you know, we've lost the first one. So I think a little bit of change now would bring, you know, an ability to be able to play a different style and challenge, obviously, what's in front of them in a week's time.
Did you think it was a little strange? And I think we had it perfectly yesterday, Madge, that Brian Tottle scored two tries for the Penrith Panthers on the right wing. Josh Adokar was heavily involved in a couple of tries for the Bulldogs on the left wing. Is it obvious that they just go back to those positions for this next game? And why would Brad Fittler not have them in those positions?
Yeah, look, I can't comment on, obviously, their thoughts, but I'm like you, mate. I'd put them back on their respective wings. I know Toto's been playing quite a bit on the right, and Adokar, I mean, you look at that last play and, you know, people probably look at the play and Adokar was out on the right side, but, you know, for week on, week off, you know, Adokar's been moving on that left. And that's the differences of inches on the sideline, yeah, when Hammer went down the sideline. And, you know, you look at someone like Adokar, look, he normally executes those plays, and you've got two speedsters. So I guess, you know, the movements of each of those players, it can play a part when you've been swapped from one side to another. But I'm with you, mate. I think if we swap them back over and you put Adokar over there with Latrell and young Brian there with, you know, Tommy, yep, you know, you've got some pretty solid edges there.
Okay. Now, the one I didn't ask you about, I've actually also included Damien Cook at hooker because of that combination. Now, you've coached Damien Cook, you've coached Appy Korosau to premiership glory as well. Who do you have in your number nine jersey?
Yeah, look, I'd say I'd put both in. I think in the Origin arena, being able to carry two hookers, you know, you've got your number nine in the middle of the park, and I thought Appy did an outstanding job, which is a real tough call on Nico. I think Nico is a fantastic player, but you've got to connect with the players, I guess, with, you know, Queensland Hammer in the middle of the park, Appy gets a bit of fatigue, and then all of a sudden you put someone like Damien Cook back out there and you speed up the game. So once again, you're getting that connection, and hence the reasons why I talk about someone like Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker, and then you've got Damien Cook. There's a pretty solid connection there that have been to a few grand finals over the last few years. So you're not going to miss out on the cohesion of what you have within a team if you had both of those guys.
Okay, so you don't have coverage like a Matt Burton or a Nico Hines on the bench. You've got either Damien Cook or Appy. Do you have a preference to who would you start out of those two?
Look, I'd probably still go Appy. I think Appy's just a little ahead of Cookie. Cookie can come on and really speed up the game. But you are right, you know, you cover, but that's dependent on the back rowers of who can cover. If all of a sudden you get an edge, you go down, and look, you know, you saw the concussion of the young winger of Queensland. He obviously went off, and then they covered that by, you know, I think they put out
Dave Fifita.
I'm trying to think of the left edge back. Dave Fifita, sorry. Yeah. Dave Fifita out there on the edge. So being able to, you know, put players in positions to be able to cover, you know, sometimes you've just got to make sure that you get your 17 right and play the game. And then if something does go wrong, then you can cover it.
So what you've explained just there, does that help us get a greater appreciation of how, well, fortunate might not be the right word, but that's the one I'll use to describe the position they find themselves in with a world-class dummy half in Harry Grant, probably best in the league, And then someone like Ben Hunt, who not only is a world-class dummy half, and you spoke often about the craft of dummy half, but also then happens to be a world-class number seven or even six, and he ended up in the centres the other night as well.
That's right. Well, someone like Damien Cook, I mean, I've used Damien Cook as a centre, a winger, a fullback. Those players, they're good enough to be able to fill in if they need to. They've played the game and they are. So I guess someone like a Damien Cook could definitely fill in one of those positions if need be. Look, I think he started a game at fullback for me at one stage, and I think he came through the grades out on the edge as a winger. So being a beach sprinter, long time ago. So he's got that speed, but I just like the mix of being able to speed the game up in and around the ruck when you've got fatigue. You know, there's obviously that beat-up period at the first 20, and if Happy could go out there and build a lot of pressure on Queensland, then, you know, Damien Cook will be able to come up and pull them apart.
Yeah. Madge on a Monday. We've got the Kiwis.
And that's what Harry's doing, Jimmy. Sorry, mate. I was just saying there, Jimmy, that's basically what Harry gets to do, isn't it? He comes into a fatigued arena and then goes to work and pulls apart the New South Wales team.
Well, the funny thing, if you look at Harry's contribution to the try that was scored by Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, it goes dummy half pass to DCE, who goes long pass to Harry Grant, who goes long pass to Cam Munster. So he's filling in at a second receiver because he's got that skill set
as well. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if you actually watch that pass, you actually watch Harry turn his whole body and pass the other way, which actually holds up the line, which then obviously that allows Munster to go. And I've seen Harry do that many a time where all of a sudden, once you've got a defensive line stopping and then you've got Munster swinging out at you the way he did, they got him down the sideline.
Amazing. Madge on a Monday, the Kiwis and Canberra Raiders assistant coach. All thanks to Finch Financial, asset finance made simple. Head to finchfinancial.com.au right now. We've got the news coming, Madge. After that, we'll be back with more. If you've got a question for Madge, let us know. 0457 736 736. Thank you, Amy. Yeah, very much looking forward to it. We've got Madge on a Monday. That's right. We've got the Kiwis coach, the Canberra Raiders assistant coach as well. It's all thanks to Finch Financial, the asset finance made simple. Head to finchfinancial.com.au. Now, before we get to some of these text messages, Madge, lots of talk around James Tedesco. I think he showed him yesterday that he is the right man for the job. Is he your fullback and captain of New South Wales game too?
He is, Jimmy. Look, he's a champion of the game, and like you said, I think he got him home there yesterday. His energy around through the middle of the park, and probably just a little bit clunky there the other day in that sort of the first 20, 30 minutes of the Origin game. But yeah, with time in there and time around those players, I'm sure he'll show why he's one of the best in the world.
Madge, do you think the style that New South Wales take into Origin Arena, and I'm talking it's very similar to the Penrith style with Isaiah Yeo providing a link option, whereas Carrigan is almost that absolute run option for Queensland. Do you think that can stand up in State of Origin with such fast-moving defensive lines?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Jimmy. I think you've got to have a real good look at, obviously, the players around you. I mean, especially someone like a Teddy. Teddy likes to get in and around the ruck and play very quick.
Yep.
And in an Origin or, you know, an international game, the speed of the line is coming at you a lot quicker. And it's just a step up. And that's where Teddy's been very effective in and around teams that have a lot of line speed, because he gets over the ad line really quickly. So someone like a Yeo, I'm sure he'll adapt now and understand what he needs to do in this next game, because he's been there before. But I do like the style of being able to get over the ad line with a runner. You know, and once your dummy half, like Harry, will roll their forwards onto the ball and get them across the ad line. And once they get over that ad line, you tend to find the defensive line stops. But if you're passing and you're going sideways, then it takes a little bit of time for Yeo to get across the ad line. So there's the differences of speed of a defensive line coming at you. I mean, we're talking about the best in the game. So you're going to have faster line speed. There's going to be a lot more intensity coming at you. So having that ability to get across with your forwards, probably similar to what you've just spoken about there with the Queensland team, that they get across the ad line fast, especially when Harry jumps out there.
Yeah, and Carrigan does it so well. He's been superb over the last two years for Queensland.
Yeah, he's been very good.
Based on that and the style that Murray plays compared to Isaiah Yeo, would you start Cam Murray with his run, almost run first mentality, or just tell Isaiah Yeo, run first mentality?
Yeah, I'd be talking to Isaiah, just saying, look, he's a big body. Look, you could go with either of those, Jimmy. They're both great players. Cam Murray's got an ability to really play a quick, fast play of the ball, and Isaiah is probably a bit taller, so they can catch him a little bit. But yep. Look, he's so effective when he thinks run first. And I guess rather than thinking pass and getting it sideways to your halves, just using him early days to bash down the front door. Yeah. Let's get the pressure on the Queenslanders and make them having to tackle big bodies. And that's basically sort of the Queensland style.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, I've got to ask you this. And I know there's no vacancy at the moment, and there's still two games remaining in the series. But for all intents and purposes, if Brad Fittler and the New South Wales side don't win this game, then New South Wales are looking for a new coach as of next year. Would you open yourself up, make yourself available to coach New South Wales? Could you do it and retain your New Zealand position?
I can't really answer that, but look, I'm really enjoying coaching the Kiwi boys. But yeah, you always look at a situation. I mean, you know, it'd always be a dream to coach at the Origin Arena. But look, I'm very comfortable in what I'm doing at the moment, and you know, I hope that Freddie gets himself right and they keep on going with Freddie. He's obviously been there, and I know what it's like to be a coach, to have the different pressures come on you.
Sure.
When you know, you're going through these periods. So I'd rather just say, mate, I'm very focused about what I'm doing at the moment. But look, down the track one day, is it something that I'd love to do? I'd love to be able to coach at that arena.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you the question in this way, and you'll be well placed to answer as well. Can you coach an NRL club and also coach the New South Wales Blues? It hasn't been done for over a decade now for New South Wales.
Yes, you can. I've obviously been. I was with Bellier when he was down there. Yep. He was taking on the New South Wales team, and I think it has a bit to do with your staff and where the organisation's at. But we found that obviously, for myself personally, it was one of the best things that ever happened to me as a coach, because Bellier could go off and coach New South Wales, and I was able to take control a little bit more of, you know, what happened there at the Melbourne Storm as an assistant coach. But I think what it also did, it actually helped the whole organisation. You know, everyone had to stand up when the coach wasn't there, when he was away off doing his Origin coaching. Yep. So, yes, I do believe that you can do it.
Okay.
What I would say is you've got to have the right people around you.
Right. I know it was a long time ago, but isn't that how Craig Bellamy got his start with the baby Broncos, when Wayne Bennett was going to State of Origin coaching and all those players were out and they had that famous win at Campbelltown Stadium?
Yeah, it was. One thing I would say around that too, Jimmy, I actually think when you're a coach and you're in the week to week, you actually see a lot more about what's going on. You know the ins and outs, and that's what's helped me and why I love the coaching and going off and helping the Kiwi boys, because I'm watching them all the time. I guess, you know, when you're a standalone coach for three games, the ins and outs of what goes on, the day-to-day stuff, you just don't have that same practice. So I'd actually say in some ways it can actually help that coach, depending on the staff that you've got, of how you go about your coaching when you're at that level.
Actually, that's a very good point, because there was one of those situations that happened on last Wednesday night, and I'll get your thoughts on it. And we were talking about it yesterday on the NRL Crunch Time program, but when Tom Trbojevic was off, and then Flegler was sent to the sin bin, right? So they could have automatically activated their 18th man, we believe, which meant Matty Burton could have gone to left centre and you could switch Stephen Crichton over to the right centre position. Now, that could have happened immediately, I think. I don't know if Brad Fittler and the New South Wales coaching staff contemplated that and didn't activate it, or just didn't contemplate it. An NRL coach, I'd imagine, is right across that stuff.
Yeah, you're definitely across all that, the rules in and around what you can and can't do. And look, yeah, look, we'd probably say that a little bit about Billy. You know, Billy's obviously been able to be a successful coach without being an NRL coach. But I do know he does a fair bit of work down there at the Melbourne Storm. So how much he does, I couldn't tell you. But those little intricacies of, you know, making change if need be, or you know, understanding whether or not you have one player on one side or the other, those are the little areas, I guess, that when you're a head coach in the NRL, you're looking at all the time.
Yeah, no doubt. I got this question from our man Spanky. Love Spanky too. Thanks for the Helensburgh shout-out, Jim. Any chance you could mention it to Madge, close to Sydney, only 20 minutes to training. I mean Wollongong. I hope to see him looking at properties this Saturday. So any update on the St George Illawarra Dragons match?
No comment on that space there, Jimmy. I'm focusing on making sure we beat the Warriors this Friday and making it a great day for Toots.
Oh, gee, you know, it's funny. As an assistant coach of the Raiders, you sound just like a head coach of the NRL. That's fantastic, Madge.
You definitely don't lose that.
Very good. All right, we've got to get ourselves to a break. We will be back with more after the break. If you want to send a question in for Madge, just like Spanky, and love to you too, Spanky. Thank you for that. We're doing it all thanks to Finch Financial. Asset finance made simple. Head to finchfinancial.com.au now. Right, break and back with more. All right, let's get stuck into more time with Michael Maguire. That's right, Madge on a Monday, the Kiwis coach, and he's also, of course, the assistant coach at the Canberra Raiders. You're with us, Madge. You got some questions you're happy to answer?
Yeah, I got you, Jimmy.
All right, I reckon,
yeah,
Madge.
Yeah, mate, we'll have a crack at it.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, mate. I'm going to get you to change those headphones back to the original ones that you were wearing, you had on. So that delay was coming through again. Oh, I think you did. I think you did. Anyway.
Hey, mate, can you, have you?
All right, we got you, but we got the.
James there.
You know what? We got the delay happening again, Madge. So I don't know what it is that you did, but we need to go back to what was working previously. I tell you what, we'll get our tech guys in. We've got lots of text messages coming in here. So I'll get to this one. Hey, Madge, why do you think Freddie and Brandy are so pig-headed on not picking Walker? Well, I'm not sure how pig-headed they are. Anyway, it seems a no-brainer with Cleary's injury to bring him in and build the attack around him. I don't know why he wasn't in for game one. Reynolds has the connection with Walker, but if they are set on Hines, he has the Indigenous All-Star connection with Walker. Walker is a must going forward. So we'll get your thoughts on that. Madge, how are we going? We got that sorted?
Yeah. How are we going, mate? You got me now?
That's better. That's
and,
it.
Here we go. Yeah. That's not a bad point, what you've said there about the Indigenous All-Stars connection. Obviously, but I do think Adam Reynolds, he's obviously at the top of his game at the moment. I think both Adam and Cody, yeah, for their clubs, they're probably their best players in their clubs.
Yep.
Similar to what Nico Hines is. So, look, I think you couldn't go wrong with either of those guys. But personally, I think the connection that I know that Adam has with Cody and, the way they can play together, it's pretty special.
Madge, are you crazy enough to go back into a head coaching position already? Nice to be an assistant coach for a little bit, surely. That's from Paulie from West Walls End.
Oh, yeah, look, I am crazy. I think I'll definitely go back in poorly. But, look, I am enjoying being able to just be an assistant because, all you get to do is just look after your players. And that's why you get into coaching. You're developing players. And I had a great session there with some of the younger guys today, looking at their game. So that's an enjoyment part. But, you always do miss the head coaching role.
Can I take you then to, and not specifically with the St George Illawarra Dragons, but around that and what Jason Riles was looking at and how different is it from we talk about assistant coach to a head coach, but how much of the outside stuff, the actual non-coaching that an NRL coach has to do that is as big a distraction as anything for those people who take on that role?
That's a good one, Jimmy. Look, people don't realise what a head coach goes through sometimes. I think depending on what organisation you're at, you've got the title of head coach, but you might only be coaching for 30 or 40% of your day, and then you've got 60% dealing with the peripheral parts of the organisation.
Yep.
Some organisations are a little different, where you might be able to maybe coach at 60%. But as an assistant coach, you're just completely focused on the players, the playing group, and how you're playing. A head coach, you've basically got everything, from life outside, for every single member, your staff, your administration. You're dealing with such a larger scope of what goes on. So, it's a big jump going from an assistant coach. And looking over, everyone sort of looks at, I guess, the current crop of assistant coaches, but they've got to be ready, and I guess in Jason Riles' situation, he's looking at the long term of what he wants to do and how he wants to be as a coach. So, you've got to make sure you're ready as an assistant when you want to jump into a head coaching role. And Look, I was fortunate over my assistant coaching time, Jimmy, where I think I was an assistant coach for nearly 10 or 12 years.
Yep.
And there was a couple of opportunities through there where I thought that I wasn't ready. You've got to make that call. And then obviously the one that sort of caught my eye was the opportunity to go overseas and coach at Wigan, and then that brought me back on a journey back into Australia. So there's many ways of going about your pathway.
And people like Trent Robertson and yourself who did that, and people say, oh, you've been an assistant, or you take the head coaching position somewhere else. Well, you both did both, which has surely got to stand you in better stead.
Yeah, and you've got to remember, as an assistant coach, you're not making every decision from the day to day. I mean, you're talking to players, you're picking players, you're dropping players. So, you know, you've got to be able to understand and have that experience of being able to have the conversations with players that have played 300 games to you're a debutant. So there's an array of different conversations that you have as a head coach compared to an assistant coach.
Madge, we're running short of time. We've got to get ourselves to a break. Madge on a Monday, all thanks to Finch Financial. Asset finance made simple. Make sure you head to finchfinancial.com.au. Now, that's all thanks to Julian and the team. Right, so we'll get to that break and then we'll come and wrap things up with Michael Maguire. Stick around.